What up, though? This your boy DOC, and I got Kafani on the line representing the Bay. You know, one thing I never got to ask you the last time we did an interview, I wanted to ask you, you know, where exactly are you from in the Bay?
I'm from Oakland, born and raised in Oakland. I was raised in Funktown. Funktown is like basically from like the lake all the way to like to about 14th Ave, like where San Antonio Park is, basically like where San Antonio Park ends. It goes from San Antonio Park all the way to the lake, basically from First Ave all the way up to First Ave to like 13th Ave, 14th Ave is Main Street. So basically up to 13th Ave, and it goes all the way up from like, Foothill all the way up to like East 27th, you know what I'm saying? So I was pretty much raised on 5th Ave and East 17th.
Oh, okay.
524 East 17th to be exact, you know what I'm saying? I went to Westlake Junior High. Graduated from Oakland High, class of 98. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? But besides that, you know what I'm saying? I was going to college, and me and my boy, we just used to be on some dumb shit. And, you know what I'm saying? I got accepted to go to college and everything. And I was going to San Francisco State. But in the process of that, I had lost my job. I was working at Lucky's as a bagger. I lost my job. So me and my boy started robbing people. Like, we used to be robbing. Like, we used to be, like, going to Chinatown and just wait. We started hitting people at the ATM machine. We'd sit at the ATM machine, and then we'll follow them to their house and get out. And then we'll bounce out. Sometimes we had a real gun, sometimes we had a BB gun, and we'd hop out and get on them. Then I graduated to waiting on the business owners who worked their restaurants that ultimately led me getting caught and getting incarcerated. I ended up sending me to the penitentiary. How I learned the white collar gang was I used to basically if I robbed somebody, I call them. I didn't care about the little money I got, because I made way more money. I basically say all this because, you know, the time of statute of limitation ended. So pretty much, you know what I'm saying, after we pull a robbery, the next day I call the people as a detective. So I already got their ID, I already got their credit cards, but sometimes I wouldn't have their social or mother's maiden name and certain stuff like that. And then I get that, you feel me? And then that's how I start the white collar thing. I go and order credit cards. But I was just young and dumb. I sent credit cards to like across the street from my house, or even in my apartment. I find a vacant apartment number, I go in there and break it to the mailbox, and my dumb ass would send the cards to my real name. And then I used to just be shopping. Like, everybody knew me. All my partners back in the day, all my partners that knew me, knew I always had credit cards and ATM cards and was always just pulling out bread. This started at like 17.
Damn.
And then it finally caught up to me. Because we basically followed them all the way to San Ramon from Oakland. So we happened to be in another county, Contra Costa County. And I drove and followed them, and we ended up going to San Ramon. And then we went to their house or whatever. And, you know, I mean, I had the thing on them. And my boy stripped them. We didn't go inside the house, but we stripped them, got all their shit. We hit for like four bands, because they, you know, worked in the stores. So I guess that was their earnings for the day. and then we bounced out. But mind you, me not knowing, I'm driving through these gated communities that got cameras. You know what I'm saying? Then we going to get gas, and then at night, I'll never forget it, because we went to Vallejo to go fuck some bitches, and we was at that house. Instead of me calling on my cell phone, my burnout cell phone, I called from the bitch house and tried to call the people that night about the detective, and then they gave the phone like, oh, it's a police officer here right now. So we hung up the phone.
Oh, they traced all that back.
And so they ended up, basically, I told my boy, right, I was fucking with the bitch, so I tell my boy, man, throw the shit away, throw it out. So I helped him get all the, cause, you know, it's hella receipts and shit. So I helped him get the little receipt, I helped him throw all the receipts and all the extra shit in a garbage bag, in like a garbage bag or whatever. And then I told him to toss it in the garbage can, like at like a, you know, like a convenience store or something. This dumbass nigga, he go just go some drive down a few blocks down and just throw the shit on the side. So what ended up happening was they raided the females' houses, which we didn't know, because the females didn't tell us. And then secondly, they found the bag. Somebody ended up finding the bag in Vallejo and turned it in. And of course, it had our fingerprints on it. Mm. So I was working at this credit place called Providian. You know what I'm saying? It's back in the day. It was, so they no longer existed, but
You was able to get that credit job after. So this, you got that credit job after you had already got locked up for the first shit.
No, I was already working there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because I was just doing hella robberies, and I ended up getting another job at Providian. Happened to be at Providian, a credit card company. And I mean, I wasn't doing nothing when I was there, like taking no information or like that.
Yeah.
But I was happy to work there. And then the main boss came up to me, and she basically, we had went outside, right, on our break. We went on our break, and a lady came up to me, and she's like, Mark, hey, it looked like the FBI kicked in your mama door. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah. I'm like, what? And so I was with my boy, and I went down to one of the credit cards I had. I went down to the bar station and tried to buy a BART card, and it worked or whatever. But so I told my boy, like, man, I don't know what's going on, bro. I was like, man, I think they found out about that robbery. Dude, I kind of had an idea. I think they found out about that robbery. So then I fucked around and went. My dumbass was just leaving and go to my pop's house. I went back up to work, and then like literally like 30 minutes later, like 30 minutes later, the main boss said, I need to talk to you outside.
And they was up there to swoop you.
And so soon as she walked me to the outside door, I see a gang of white motherfuckers, and this lady read my rights. So I'm all, Mark Hicks, you are under arrest for wooty wooty woop. So they took us down to the police station. I'm in the back of the dude who transported me. I'm in the back of the car. And he telling me, yeah, I was the guy that you called and spoke to that night. You trying to play like you was a lieutenant. I'm
like, damn. Yeah.
So they take us to jail. My boy was a minor, so he was a minor. I was like 18, about to turn 19 or something. I did a county year, which was Contra Costa and going to school and shit. I did 7 months, 20 days, but they gave me a strike and I left out, and I really didn't know what a strike was.
At that
nor
time.
Did I really know what probation was, you know what I'm saying? So later down the road, you know, like a year later, I violated my probation and ended up going to, you know, prison for 3 years. But yeah, I grew up pretty much in Funktown all the way to about, I could say when I went to jail the first time, I got out of jail and I moved to New Orleans, you feel me? And then I ended up, you know, after that, I ended up going to the pen. Like I said, I got off the pen in like 2004. I was still staying with my mama. for like only a month, cause my boy had a my boy had his own spot, cause he got divorced from his girl, so he had his own spot. So I went to Hayward and moved in with him. And from there, you know what I'm saying, Muff would have been staying in L.A., Sacramento, shit, Tracy, all over the motherfucking place, Concord, buy property, all types of shit.
Yeah.
And then my mom finally moved in 2012. You know what I'm saying? Because of a home invasion. Like, some motherfuckers home invaded my mom when I was in jail. I was doing house arrest. I was in for 30 days. And some dudes came in with no mask. And came in my house as she was coming home, going out for work. So it was some motherfuckers that that knew my mom. It wasn't nothing to do with none of my homies. It had something to do with some family members and shit. Speaking too much. And yeah, bro, they came in and hit my mom with the pistol, and she took them to the church money, gave them that. They was like, nah, where the, they kept on saying, they running through the house trying to find the money. They like, where the storage at? Where the storage at? And she's like, what you talking about? And I knew prior to that, that somebody was trying to ask my mom about a storage.
So you pieced the two together.
So I pieced the two together, but in the long run, they had us for 3 hours. They talking about, we gonna kill you, gonna kill you. My mom felt threatened for her life. They couldn't find the money. And, you know what I'm saying? I never talked about this story, but she ended up, like, she was scared for her life. And she really just went to the spot where I had some bread at. It was about $65,000. She gave it to me. And I was in jail. And, you know, mom blamed motherfucker for everything. So, you know, I was in the streets going
ham after that.
We was going ham when I got out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We was going real ham. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna speak nothing else about that. But,
yeah. You know how was y'all relationship now? You know what I mean? Like, after all the credit card stuff and them kicking her door then, and then that situation, like, you and your mom got a decent relationship now?
Man, my mom loved me to death. I'm my firstborn. She'll do anything for me, man.
Word.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All the cars I had, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? In the past, all the cars I had, she put that shit in her name and get it for me. I mean, like, when I first went to college, she bought me a brand new car. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Moms, if it weren't for moms, well, I don't know where I'd be. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Mom's one of the reasons why I'm able to do what I do. You feel me? Like, you know, you see how when I came home from prison, I bounced back fast. You feel me?
Yeah.
I dropped the project out the gate, get my buzz right back. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I left before 3 years. I left being, I was the nigga Oakland. You feel me? I had like a 9-year run, bro. Being on a local radio station and getting record deals, getting played all over the country, doing shows all over the country. And, you know, the local station came me up, man. They supported me all the way around. Every record I dropped was a club banger, and they played it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know, I'm slowly but surely getting myself back to that point.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you. I was gonna ask you. I was like, I seen you recently, you know, pumping out a little, well, I ain't gonna say just recently, you've been consistently dropping a lot of music. I seen you did the, I can't remember her name, but you did the song of school, it's called Ride For Me. I seen the Heavenly, you've been pushing that, you know.
Well, before that, I dropped, we're gonna go back. Before that, I've been just stacking up on music, right? So I dropped, when I first got out, I dropped a song, Real, with T.O. from S.O.B. My brother had basically hooked it up and got a song with him. And I liked the song, and bruh's like, man, hop on it. So I get on the song, but I don't know the politics. I just got out. I didn't know that Mess had did the little shit with Dr. Dre with the bullets in the hole and all the shit. Because otherwise, I would have got one of the other SOB niggas to get on the song and do it. You know what I'm saying? So through politics and all that type of shit, that's the reason why T.O. wasn't in the video. Was based on the fact of the politics with Fizz and Messy Marv, which I never knew when I put the record out.
Right.
I talked to, like, you know, I talked to the main, the head niggas of Thiz, and they like, you know, we fuck with you, because, you know what I'm saying, I did an album with Thiz before. I did a Maserati Music that I did for Thiz, you feel me, like in 09. So, you know what I'm saying, we ain't nothing but love with us. So it's like, man, we gonna let the record do what it do, but we just don't, you know what I'm saying, we, you know, you already know the game, like, bruh, from the press, so he can't be in a video with bruh. So I was like, yeah, I understand all that, we just gonna do what we do. But the song did, you know, the song did what it did over a few million streams. So that it caught on. So then I came back, and I wasn't dropping really music. Like, I dropped a couple songs, but I really wasn't dropping no music like that. I dropped off a couple singles that was working, because I dropped the I was stacking up, making hella music, because I wanted to start dropping back to back. And we did that Project Pack, Keep the Sneak. We did that album. Then after
the main on one.
Then I dropped the main on one. Now we to this, what you talking about, the Heavenly song.
Yeah, how did that go with the Maino project?
Man, the Maino project actually moving, man. It's doing good. I mean, like, I got like probably a few million streams already on it. And we only dropped it probably like a month ago.
Is that helping connecting with him, and him being from the East Coast? You see, like, your fan base and everything, like, expanding more on that side.
You know what's so crazy, bro? My music get played all over the world, because, you know, you can check your stats.
Yeah, your analytics.
My music get played. My music get played on over 60 countries, man. Shit, every city, every you know, everywhere in America is getting played. But you know what the crazy part about it is? I got a lot of people from New York listening to my music, mm-hmm. L.A. You know what I'm saying? Sacramento, San Jose, like Frisco, like my biggest area. You know what I'm saying? But it's crazy because Oakland is like the actual city of Oakland is like, it's in my top 10 cities, but it ain't like my number one. You feel me? It's like Oakland listen to my music. You feel me?
Yeah.
But it ain't like it's within my top 10. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I kind of be like, man, shit, I'm finna just start doing shit. You know, I'm sitting in front of start doing shit for Oakland and repping Oakland and repping where I'm from hella heavily. You know what I'm saying? Because just to build my fans, let motherfuckers know, like, man, that nigga ain't went nowhere.
Right.
Motherfuckers got that money, man. You moved out the hood. You feel me?
Yeah.
And then once moms moved in 2012, it was gone. You know how it is, bro. It's where you at right now. You feel me? It ain't about where you from.
Right.
I got in my crew. I got dudes from everywhere. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's in my crew. You feel me? That's, you know what I'm saying? I used to come outside deep. You know what I mean? Going to the shows. So, you know, I got motherfuckers, Laura Bottoms, main niggas from Seminary, my niggas from the 80s, 84, 88, you know what I'm saying? I got motherfuckers all over the place, you know what I'm saying? North Oakland, I mean, it's widespread in Richmond, you know what I'm saying? All my niggas from Richmond and shit, my brother from Richmond. So, like, I always had a movement, my niggas from 31st and West, rest in peace, Lil Hub. But, you know what I'm saying? So, my thing is, I don't got niggas from just one hood. Like, I ain't just, like, I'm not, my thing is, I'm not banging one hood. I'm just representing Oakland, and all the cats with me is from different spots from Oakland.
Right.
So it ain't about hanging on no spot. Because the crazy thing was, somebody, when me and Matt shot the video in Funktown, we did it at, like, on my block, shit staff. We did that at night, and then I started getting like some young cats is all on my page. Like, why you didn't do it in why you didn't do the video in the daytime, and why you didn't tap in with none of the youngsters from Funktown? I'm like, man, I only know one nigga from Funktown. You feel me, my nigga Lil D? You feel me?
Yeah.
And I'm like my nigga D. What nigga was talking shit, so I hit my nigga D like, man, who is that? Because he younger, so. And he knew me, like, you know what I'm saying? He was a real youngster. And he seen me out there when I was doing, you know, when I first left, had two brand new Mustangs, Escalade, and two bikes. I used to be over there showing out. all these young dudes was damn near in, you know what I mean, probably in preschool some goddamn where. You know what I'm saying? My others don't know I'm 39 years old. So
right.
I'm not finna know no young dudes. So you know what I'm saying? So yesterday or the day before, I'm like, I'm about to go to Funk Town. So I get on my Instagram live going through Funk Town, not looking for no beef or nothing. I'm just like, man, I'm in Funk Town. I'm just driving through, showing everybody all the spots and everything. And of course, I come in the daytime. And I hit every spot. Of course, it's a ghost town because no one's outside anymore. So who you gonna tap in with and holler at, like, to come be in my video? Like, I'm supposed to make some type of casting call, right? Bring all the niggas from Funk Town to a video.
Right, yeah.
Where when I only fuck with certain motherfuckers, and the motherfuckers that I fuck with don't even live over there no more, don't be over there no more, because we grown.
Yeah.
Damn, that shit no more.
Like, kind of going back a little bit, when you mentioned doing the video shoot with Mess, you know, how did that whole situation even come together with you and Mess connecting after the other song with the SOB cats? And how did y'all connect and put this one together?
Well, basically, you know what I'm saying, Mess always stay in contact with my little brother. They got a Smurf Hicks. Smurf Hicks, he's from Richmond and shit. And he was telling me, boy, Mess in Tent City, boy. I'm like, what? And then I start seeing all these videos and shit. So I'm like, man, go get the niggas, bro, and go over there and see what's up with this nigga, bro. They talking about a nigga whooped him and all this. I'm like, man, go up over there and see what's up with that nigga, bro. You feel me?
Yeah.
So I go over there, and we talking on FaceTime or whatever. And so I screen recorded the conversation, but I put it out, but I muted it. And I was like, man, it's sad. Mess using drugs, smoking coke and homeless and shit, right?
Yeah.
And so would it end up turning to be some motherfuckers talking about, man, you put Mess on blast and wooty woot. I'm like, nah, bro. I'm trying to bring this dude up and get him out of, you know what I'm saying, and get real, build it up to the people. Like, this shit serious. All you niggas out here making fun of this dude and doing all of this. This shit ain't cool, bro. This is bury a legend, bro. Mm-hmm. You ain't supposed to do that. Niggas supposed to come back and try to help and do what they do. You know what I'm saying? So all this other shit's some bullshit. You feel me? And so when I put that video up, it kind of went viral. And but guess what? Next thing I know, shit switched. I started seeing all rappers. I saw different rappers start posting up or hollering a few rappers about what happened because they called me. And then you see motherfuckers posting up Mess. Like, man, we need to help Mess up and get up and do this and that. You feel what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
And that started based on me putting it out there, far as me having the platform in the Bay to where people pay attention. You know what I'm saying? At first, a few people was like, man, you wrong for, you know what I'm saying, putting a video or like you secretly recording him and this and that and that. You know what I'm saying? Mess knew you know what I'm saying? Mess knew what was going on. He wasn't mad about the shit.
Right.
You know, you see, we cool. But it brought awareness to what was really going on by me just speaking on it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And niggas niggas got him washed up, cleaned up, and all the shit. And then from there, I'm like, we talking. I'm like, shit, bro, let's just do a little EP or something, bro. So, you know what I'm saying? Get some bread. You know, put some bread in your pocket. And then I'm like, bro, I'll shoot you a few dollars just to get you going or whatever here, bro. It wasn't even about the music, bro. It was about you, my nigga. So, nigga, I'm gonna throw you something. You feel me?
Word, yeah.
Like, real, that's real nigga shit. These other niggas out here talking shit, wooty woop, and motherfuckers, but they ain't lending no hand, they ain't helping. You feel me? And then now, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers seeing that nigga Mess starting to look good and come back. Motherfuckers jumping on the bandwagon.
Right.
But, so right now, you know what I'm saying, we about to do we done did like three songs already. We finna do probably about three more. Like, we gonna do like just drop it like a 6-song EP. I don't know. I might fuck around and try to get a couple more tracks in and do a whole album on it. We don't got no name on it. But the first song we did was Niggas Come Bring It. And And so, you know what I'm saying? I just chose to go to where I was from to shoot it.
Right.
I just went on a block where I grew up at and shot the video. It wasn't like that. And then, you know, Messenger's Versi, you know what I'm saying, shouting out Funk Town, because I shot it out Funk Town. I always shot Funk Town out. You feel me?
Yeah.
I just don't, you know what I'm saying, nigga, I don't function over there, because, you know what I mean, nigga like me, man, I'm sitting back, fat house, out the way. You know what I'm talking about?
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I was wondering, you know what I mean, I definitely had to ask you that. I was wondering how y'all connecting. It's good that you, you know, end up being the first of one, you know, whatever, one of the first, or the first two, just change that narrative instead of jumping on it, you know what I mean, in another light to keep pushing that negative. Because I started seeing it like a motherfucker. But if anybody pay attention to the channel, like, I didn't post none of that stuff, you know what I mean, about him being in Tent City and all that other stuff, you know what I mean? Because, like, for people that's been rocking with my channel for a minute, they know that was the very first interview that I ever had. Was with Messi, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know, of course I'm not out there and into all the politics and all that, but I'm glad that somebody did reach out and try to get him back in motion, you know what I'm saying? But I seen somebody else that, you know, you have been posting about recently, you know, that you was close to. Like, what's going on with the whole Keek the Sneak situation?
Man, the homie Keek, man, we got an EP that's done. So, you know, I'm about to put that out there. You know what I'm saying? Right now, his release date, December. So, you know, I'm gonna keep repping Keek. You know what I'm saying? Keek, one of the, you know what I mean? Like the, you know what I'm saying? Like one of the real ones that is like really, you know what I'm saying, came to a liking of a nigga. And that's like my brother, bro. And, you know, he one of the reasons why I'm even doing, you know, got my name out there like that, like even just doing it, just doing music with him and going on tour with him, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, our family and shit know the same, our family and shit fuck with each other, so that made the bond even closer from that shit. And right now he in Stockton and he doing good. He had a medical facility. He was like, man, if I knew it was gonna be this week, I would have been turned myself in. You feel me?
Okay.
Because, you know, the situation I went through was, I was in Santa Rita, and, like, bro, they didn't even have a shower chair, bro. I had to literally sleep. I literally had to take a shower in a motherfucking regular, like one of them wheelchairs they push people in. I had to take a shower in that shit. They'll push me there. Then the motherfuckers would only give me one shower a week, and I was in a small-ass room. Only time I came out my room was to go to... Only thing I came out the room was to take my shower once a week and go to my visits twice a week. Other than that, I was stuck in the bed, watching TV. And, you know, after a few months, they just left the phone in my room, because there's only three rooms. It's only three phones in the whole infirmary in Santa Rita. But I was just there for so long, they just let me keep the phone in the room.
Right.
I kind of had that shit tucked where they couldn't see it, plugged into the side of my bed, and had all my boxes and shit surrounding that motherfucker, so certain deputies and shit who assholes wouldn't see it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so they cut the TV on at 11 in the morning and cut off at 11 at night. So that was my program. Just watching TV, making phone calls, putting money on motherfuckers. I really spent $10,000, bro, in Santa Rita for being, I was there for like 16 months before So I basically did half my time in county and did half my time in the feds. Once I got to the feds, the conditions was way better. Once they finally got me to where I got to, because at first they took me to Arizona, and I was at the wrong prison that wouldn't take me, so they put me in the hospital. And, you know, when they put you in the hospital, they shackle you up 3 points. So your leg shackled and one of your arms shackled. So I had to endure that with no contact with my family for 3 months. The whole 3 months, I couldn't call my family. They didn't know where I was at. Like, straight bullshit. But, you know, I'm a soldier, bro.
Yeah.
I'm a gangster, man.
Survive
all that shit, bro.
How do you feel like all, you know, those trials and tribulations, how do you feel like it has either affected you or molded you to the person that you are today?
Man, that shit right there, everything, on my situation, does everything. It humbled me. It humbled me to be able to, you know what I'm saying, respect life more. And, you know, at the end of the day, man, music my life, so music keep me motivated. And I'm a very nonchalant person, so people can't really read me. But at the end of the day, bro, I really don't be tripping, you feel me? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because motherfuckers right now, like, on some real shit, we can speak on it and talk about the shit. Like, motherfuckers still, like, throwing shots at a nigga, bro. Like, motherfuckers throwing subliminals. I'm catching these songs. You know what I'm saying? I'm catching these songs with, like with Mozzie and Filthy Rich, and motherfuckers, like, throwing shots, you feel me? Like Mozzie put up, I did the diss, Filthy Bitch. He put up the Filthy Bitch cover. Mind you, I never met Mozzie a day in my life. Mm-hmm. He put that cover up, and then Filthy put up the Ice King, I guess the diss that he did on with me and Mess or whatever. I'm getting told all this shit, you feel me? But you know, and then it just be, I don't know, bro. It's like, it should just be real political with this shit. Like, I'm gonna be the first to put it out there. Like, you know what I'm saying? I got niggas from seminary, so I ain't never had no beef with seminary. And I don't got no beef with Filthy at all. And at the end of the day, everything between me and him is personal. You feel me?
So, right.
You know, at the end of the day, for him to do that, you know what I'm saying? That was a bitch move. You feel me? Like, on some real talk, like, that was a straight bitch move. But at the same time, it's rap. It's competition. So, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, that shit don't gotta go to violence or nothing like that. My situation is totally different from, and it didn't have nothing to do with Filthy. You know what I'm saying? My situation was totally different. You know what I'm saying? On that situation. So at the end of the day, I don't got no problem with, you know what I mean? Like, my family, like, it's my niggas from East 17. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, is the crazy part is right where we're Filthy from back in 99, before he was over there, even thought about, nigga, my family members was part of the Mad Circle to start it out. My you know what I'm saying, the little club across the street, the VI, and my auntie was a resident DJ in that motherfucker. You know what I'm talking about? So, you know what I'm saying? So that shit crazy. You know what I'm saying? How shit be about hoods, because it's like, it's crazy because that hood right there, they built the motherfucking Walgreens put a Walgreens in front of that motherfucker. So motherfuckers have to change their location, their spot. So at the end of the day, man, we don't own this shit. The country own this shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, niggas go do videos where they from and all the shit. That's what niggas do. You know what I mean? Everybody choose to do shit the way they want to do. Like, that whole situation like that. Like, why would you, you know what I'm saying? Why would a nigga say on a thing, don't come through the hood? You seen what happened to the last bitch ass nigga. So, like, when a nigga say that, I'm like, what? You feel me? So I instantly hit this nigga on the DM. You feel me? And he responded back on a screenshot of me posting Mozzie on a screenshot. I'm like, bruh, so you go diss me? You go diss me, nigga? Sneak diss me because I put a picture on my page of Mozzie saying Mozzie got bars on a song that he did, on a diss song he did. I didn't say nothing about dude. It wasn't nothing like that. I just said Mozzie had bars. I feel like that's some hoe ass shit for a motherfucker that's, you know what I'm saying, to say that, say some shit on that caliber when, you know what I'm saying, when we had a discussion, we already had talked, and motherfucker had a discussion like, bro, I ain't never spoke on your name and wooty woo. So I'm like, okay, nobody ain't spoken on nobody's name, everything good. But then I see an interview and he bring, you know what I'm saying, bring up the shit with Raven Justice and my name and all the shit. I'm like, damn, we just talked. And we said, we ain't gonna bring you, you ain't never brought my name up. And now you bringing my name up. So, of course, when I had to go do the interview with the same motherfuckers, they, you know, mentioning, they asking about the situation and I explained the situation. But, you know, at the end of the day, bro, my situation, bro, I'm dealing with it. I love life. I ain't gonna let no bitch ass niggas take me down. You feel me? It ain't doing, you know what I'm saying? It ain't doing nothing like that. You know what I'm talking about? So it's all good. You feel me? But like, as you see, I ain't putting no diss song out. I don't fuck about that shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if a motherfucker keep addressing the situation, I definitely got some bars for that ass, because I know all the real shit. I still got shit that I ain't never exposed, but you know what I'm saying? We gonna talk baseball on that. So we can get off that situation. But overall, bro, I'm doing good, bro. Everything good with me. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I don't got no beef with nobody. I don't got no problems with nobody. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing my music, Ice King Music. You feel me? Shout out, Sav the Money Maker. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Smurf Hicks. Shout out producer DC. You know what I'm saying? Shout out Skrill Gates. Count Up Jern. You know what I'm talking about? All my niggas, man. My nigga 50K. You feel me? Like, I'm doing my thing right now, bro.
Yeah.
And I put it out there, man. I'm looking for singers. I'm looking for singers, man. Preferably female singers. I'm doing an album got coming out. I'm doing called Rich Boy. And every song going to be that traditional funny slap, that, you know what I'm saying, that R&B rap shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting back to my real shit. You feel me?
Okay.
And my lead single, Voodoo Stick, on the album. I know you said you like that Ride For Me. That's a dope record. But the number one song going right now is Voodoo Stick. You need to check that out. I got the video done for all that, bro. I shot like 7 videos for the project. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going crazy. And then me and Mess, I'm finna try to shoot a video for every song with me and Mess. You feel me? Like, just keep it rolling.
Yeah.
And I still got an album. I still got an album with Lil Scrappy that I ain't put out. You know what I'm saying? I got work, man.
Yeah. Yeah. That's dope.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, from my condition, I'm outworking motherfuckers. I'm doing my thing. You feel me?
Word. That's dope. So, that's dope.
So I feel like a motherfucker. I feel like a motherfucker should be, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you know how it be. When motherfuckers come on my page, I get nothing but support. You know what I'm saying? You know, you get the random fake pages come talking shit. I erase that shit and delete their ass off my page. You feel me?
Yeah.
Motherfucker come on my page with that bullshit, I'm hitting that block on you, man. It's a block party. You feel me?
Yeah.
Man, I don't even got time for none of that. But I do, you know what I'm saying? I'm not beyond talking to my supporters and my fans. You know what I'm saying? I can't talk to everybody or this and that and you know what I'm saying, do that. But you know, I definitely hit that like button on the comments you seen. I'll throw you a 100 or something, you know what I'm saying? Because I be on my page.
Right.
So, you know. And then another thing I want to put out there, man, for all you up-and-coming artists out there, man, I be hitting the DM, man. You know what I'm saying? At the end of this day, man, on the come-up, man, motherfuckers, there's no way nobody gonna better do nothing for free, bro. Because the way we work in a professional environment, we got engineers we gotta pay. I got my own studio, but I still gotta pay my engineer because of my studio, because I don't send out verses that's not mixed. I make sure that shit mixed. So at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, when it come down to it, you know what I'm saying, you hit me up, man. You gotta know that. You know what I'm saying? When you hit me up, you like to spend some bread. I ain't gonna hit you for a whole lot, but you gonna have to give me something. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
I really don't really be doing features like that. Like, you don't see me just doing features like that, because I'm getting my money from show money, and then I'm getting all these downloads and shit. And I kind of like want to control the narrative of my music.
Mm.
And I don't want to do no downgrade or shit. You know what I'm saying? So I kind of like say, you know what I'm saying, all money ain't good money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You got any artists that I know you said you still got the little Scrappy in the tuck. You work with Mano and a whole, you know, Project Pat and a whole bunch of other people. You got any other people in mind in the future that you want to work with or would work with?
Shit, bro, at the end of the day, bro, I'm willing to work with whoever ready to work with me, man. If we're on the same level, you know what I'm saying, and putting it together. I mean, I'm even willing to work with, you know what I'm saying, youngsters that got a passion for it. You feel me? Like, I got the little young kid, 50K. My ex-wife brought it to my attention. Like, man, you know, give me a, you know, because she was the one who, she was the real person that discovered Raven Justice. Because he used to blow my DMs up trying to get me to respond. I never really respond until we made a fake page, like saying it was his sister. And you pay attention to females. So then I finally answered. And, you know, the whole time it was him. He was catfishing on Twitter, being a female, getting at niggas trying to get features, get on songs with niggas and shit. But, you know what I'm saying? weirdo shit. But, I mean, it works. It worked because, shit, besides my wife discovering him, you know what I'm saying? Then, look, the picture of the bitch looked defined. I'm like, shit, let me see what's up. This bitch's brother, shit. Fucking around, go get some head or something. You know what I'm saying? For this bitch, I get him in the studio real quick. Come give me some hair, you little fine bitch.
Yeah.
But nigga got catfish.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But nah, I'm looking to work with, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Will work with shit. Anybody, you feel me, that's really doing it. I mean, on my album, I got a few features on there, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm a nigga Yuck, you feel me?
Yeah.
Man, shit. Me and Yuck didn't even talk on the phone. Shit. I just hit his DM like, big bro, I need a verse. Like, send it. You feel me?
Word, that's dope.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like his last few albums on Rap-A-Lot, you know, he put me on. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm always fuck with Yuck. He always fuck with me. I mean, I fuck with everybody, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
San Quinn, you know what I'm saying? Messy Mar, Fody, you feel me? Fody always showed me love and threw me a few, threw me a few songs and shit to do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I pretty much La Rue. I mean, I fuck with a gang of artists out here, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I fuck with a gang of motherfuckers. So it's like I can do music, far as in the Bay, I can do music with anybody. You know what I'm saying? I really don't know too much about the little younger generation. I did a song with UC Kayla. UC Lil Kayla. We got that Rod from the joint. I got that on her and we did the video. She like an artist that I'm working with that's a part of my, you know, a part of the label. Mm-hmm. I mean, I ain't signed no contracts with them or nothing like that, but I'm just working with motherfuckers who trying to create a buzz and doing their own self and self-motivated.
Do they have to be from the Bay for you to fuck with them?
Nah. Man, you could be from anywhere, bro. You just got to be doing your thing, like, far as doing videos. I need to see a motherfucker working.
Right.
Because it's like if I'm going to outwork you, what I need you for? How you going to make me some money?
Right.
At the end of the day, this shit about some money. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Kayla, she got down her whole album ready to drop. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I'm saying? We talking like, man, come on, let's go. I got you. Let's do this. Feel me? She like, man, and as you put it out, man, I'm the ice queen. We finna start this ice queen shit up. I'm like, all right, come on, we finna do it. You know what I'm saying? I got like three female sing. I got Kayla, she rapping shit. And I got like two other females that I did records with that's dope. Chick named Nova.
Mm-hmm.
She dope. She sound like Erykah Badu. I did a track with her that we finna put, that me and Mess finna do. Like, her shit dope. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm probably continue working with her. And this other chick named Christina, we did me and her did a dope record already. And, you know, I'm gonna stay fucking with her. Cause like I said, on this project, on this next project, on this Rich Boy project, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I already went and bought the piece. I already had the custom piece made with the Cuban, you feel me? I had the RB chain made already. You know what I'm saying? Rich Boy, you feel me? I'm getting chains for my albums. You know what I'm saying?
Right, definitely. Definitely.
I'm getting the Money My Motivation chain made. You feel me? I'm gonna get my Heavenly chain made. I really don't be wanna fuck off my bread. Like, at the end of the day, like, on some real shit though. I want to put this out here to the youngsters real quick. Real quick, I want to put this out to the youngsters. For all you youngsters that's out there getting money, whether it's through music or hustle, whatever you're doing, E-40 said it best, man, back in the day, man. Make sure you got a house before you got a $100,000 car, man, parked in an apartment.
Right, exactly.
Because at the end of the day, all that jewelry is worthless. You ain't gonna get the amount of money you put into it. Because every, I don't know if, you, if y'all know, when you bust down a watch, it loses all value.
Yeah.
All the value gone. You can't, you go to the jeweler, you might have spent $100,000 for it. They gonna be talking about, oh, we can give you $4,000, $5,000 for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't give a fuck about them diamonds, because when they take them diamonds out, guess what? They can't reuse them because they had to break them out. You feel me? People don't know that. If you end up, got if somebody end up going, you got to go pawn your chain and all that. When you got to do all that, man, you shit. When all they want is the gold, they don't want the stones.
Right, right.
At the end of the day, you never go get your bread back from that. And these cars, you already know, cars depreciate. So if you're spending all your money on cars and jewelry, you a dumb motherfucker if you don't, and you ain't buy no property. And that's just a word to the wise out there.
Yeah.
Anybody get money, you know what I'm saying? You know, the old school way, man. You put in your mama name, man. You gotta do it some way how you do it. If you're getting it out the trenches and you're getting your money and you don't got no way, you need to start you up a little, open up a little barbershop or something, a way where you can wash your bread so you can go buy you some property. Because once you got that property, that shit gonna keep going up. Some cars and jewelry, you gonna have to keep flip. It's like this, right? I'm gonna give you an example. You think it's cool in 2019 to have an 06 Bentley with True Religion on?
Hell no. Nah.
Okay then. You feel me?
Yeah.
2019 got an upgrade.
So I know you was talking about something earlier, and of course you said it's past the statute of limitations, but you know, it's a lot of motherfuckers running around doing what I'm about to ask you, and I want you to you know, give them some game about it. Like, what, how you feel about a lot of artists like openly talking about scamming and swiping and all that shit? Like, what type of game or advice would you give to artists that's out there openly in their raps talking about they scamming and swiping and all that stuff? Even if they doing it or not doing it, but you know, like what would you say to them?
You a dumb motherfucker. Cause motherfuckers gotta know that the feds is on your page. If you anybody that's outside with a Bentley, Ferrari, whatever, if you got a expensive car riding around, police gonna pay attention to that. They gonna get on that. They gonna try to find out who you is. You flashy. You know what I'm saying? You do all the flashy and all that, all the flashiness and all that is what get the people on you. You know what I'm saying? The feds first got on me because of the properties I was buying. And I was getting, you know, so I was fucking with the properties. I was fucking with the properties, getting, you know what I'm saying, getting the gang of property. I was fresh off the pen. 04, my nigga put me on a jug on how to get houses and shit. And so that's how I first started buying my property. But the feds got on me about that because one of the houses I bought happened to be the broker did fraud. Basically, he told the dude that he was refinancing the house, but he actually sold the house to me without my knowledge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm thinking we doing a move. You feel me? But I never got charged with none of that, but it put the FBI on me.
Mm.
That's why my name got on the radar. And from there, I was just doing my thing. But they always keep the tabs. Anybody that's doing something, best believe the feds is on your Instagram. They're watching you. So that's why when niggas do dumb shit, like get on live and they got guns at their studio, that's why the police always hit. Because they watching.
Yeah. Yes.
At the end of the day, they don't respect hip-hop. I'm gonna give you a prime example. My PO, federal PO, when I first got out, he say every nigga that comes out of prison, guess what they say they is?
What, a rapper?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So being a rapper, saying you're a rapper to them people, the white folks, they don't give a fuck about that shit. Because they know that 99% of these so-called rappers are not actually rappers. They're able to put their music out now because we got digital distribution and shit. So anybody can put music out, but they know you. They don't know that this is your real career. Like, you know what I'm saying? Niggas out there banging on music and talking about niggas like that. The new thing is funk over songs.
Yeah.
And talk about who got killed and all that you choose is talking about. Like, you know what I'm saying? Bragging about they scams and all that shit. You feel me? But, like, dude said on his caseload, he got 50 motherfuckers claiming that rapper. And I said, so how many on your case is really actually rappers? He was like, you and one other person. I'm like, wow.
Mm.
Because they go, because, you know, they do their research.
Right, like, exactly.
When I was in Wayne, in Rochester, Minnesota, man, when they snatched me and took me to that pen from Tucson. And the first thing that the counselor went and I went to office, he go say, which I took as disrespect, what's up, Kafani? He was like, you signed an E-40 or too short? You know, they're like a square dude that don't know nothing about nothing.
Right.
But he did research looking. You feel me?
Yeah.
Mm. They made me sign a, because, you know, dudes be in there selling pictures and autographs and shit. And it was like, if you do all that, they made me have to sign this paper for, like, broad publicity. Like, when you go to the feds, if you know, you have to sign this paper called broad publicity because they don't want you to, you know, because, you know what I'm saying, they figure you got money and all that, and they don't want you to influence the yard or take over the yard because, you know what I'm saying, a nigga come to the yard and he playing with a lot of money, you get there and you can control the prison.
Right.
Because you got the bread or you might got the resources maybe to get the drugs in. You feel me? So they really be on that shit.
Yeah.
So with my probation officer, they don't give me no, they don't be tripping on me and shit like that. They let me do what I do. They know that I'm actually, you know what I'm saying, a real recording artist. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just not some dude to put music on YouTube and say I'm a rapper.
Right, right. Yeah.
But you know, at the end of the day, man, like I said, the whole Foster shit and all that shit good, but it's for sure gonna put the law on you. For sure, for sure. A lot of dudes can tell you, like, when they get it, they in a Bentley or Ferrari or whatever, Lamborghini or whatever, they'll tell you that if you in the hood somewhere, the police gonna pull you over. They gonna pull you over and they gonna run your name for a warrant. They gonna make a fake excuse why they ain't gonna tell you why they pulled you over. They just ask for license registration. All they doing is going, they check and see who your name is because they see you in that whip.
Right, see who you is.
And exactly. They'll come back to you like, have a good day, sir. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. And then you're like, man, what'd you stop me for? And be like, oh, have a good day, sir. You know what I'm saying? And the whole thing is for them to be, you know what I mean, to pay attention to you.
Right.
And you got to think about it. The police community, they talk beyond they self like how we talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah, they keep up on what's going on. And then with all the other, you know, the snitching and ratting shit going on, shit, they getting the extra help to know what's going on out here. I know you, it was something I wanted to ask you. I know this not a Bay Area particular thing, but I feel like, you know, being a hip-hop artist, you know, even though everybody don't fuck with each other, but some people do build bonds. It can be like, you know, this is a community, you know. How did you feel about the situation that happened in Nipsey Hussle? Did it impact you, or how did you take that when that happened?
To be honest with you with the whole Nipsey Hussle situation, man, I really think that, you know, it's a sad situation that the brother got shot, killed. But in the beginning, they made it seem like it was just some dude that snitched and Nipsey calmly told dude, hey man, it ain't cool. Oh, safe for you to be around here because people saying you a snitch. So, you know, it ain't cool to be around here. If you ever met Nipsey Hussle, which I have, been around Nipsey, or even just seen clips on Nipsey, Nipsey is a confrontational dude. He's not this old, hey bro, They said you snitched, bro. So I don't think it's safe for you to come over here. Come on, bro. You already know that nigga. You already know that nigga got like, man, get your bitch ass from up over here, man. Snitching ass nigga. Because you got to remember, them niggas was in a group together when they first came out. So obviously the nigga jealous because you had a group and came out. And then, nigga, I'm calling you a snitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like probably calls you a bitch and this and this and called you a snitch. So, you know what I'm saying? That's the worst thing you call it. Call somebody's a snitch. You feel me?
Right.
So how that party went, he went back or he already had a thing on him, went back and got the thing or he drove, whatever he did, drove. He had the bitch in the parking lot driving with him. Maybe he left the party. I don't know how he left because they never set up surveillance, but he probably fucked around and came back, got his pistol. He walked calmly over there and got on him and did it moving. But the thing about it was what made it hit the nation so hard, and I think the reason why everybody all over it is because it was actually videotaped. You actually seen it.
Yeah.
Why you actually seeing something? It's the same thing with Ray Rice. Remember Ray Rice? They gave him a 2-game suspension. But when the video came out, they seen the video, guess what they did? They over blew it up, right?
Yeah.
So if Nipsey would have got killed and it wasn't on surveillance, it wouldn't have been nothing big like that, bro.
I don't know. I don't want to.
Come on, bro. Like, I'm just saying, like, when Pac and Biggie died, motherfuckers weren't going all out like that.
You talking about the funeral part, or you just talking about people showing their love for Nipsey? I think it's more. I understand the part about, you know what I mean? Yeah, being on video so that can go viral. But I think it's, you know, once people start.
No, I ain't saying that. Like that big ass funeral, bro. That's all publicity, bro. If it wasn't no publicity behind that, you wouldn't have had no Michael Jackson funeral like that, bro.
Yeah, I'm not like debating with you. I'm just saying because I am a Nip fan since way back in the day. I think a lot of people, once they started focusing on, at least for the people that I speak to and stuff like that, once, because like I got a cousin, he was like, man, I never heard Nipsey. He was like, one of my cousins, he was introduced to Nipsey first off of all the philanthropy he was doing, the positive shit, when he was like, I heard about this dude out there in LA, black dude, you know, open up this Vector 90 shit because he was planning on moving out there, this and that. He was like, he was hearing about all that stuff. And he was like, he was watching a basketball game one day. I think it was a Laker game or something, and Nipsey was there. And then he was like, then he found out maybe like 8 months after he heard about his name, about him being a rapper. So like his positive stuff kind of preceded him, especially when you got a person like, you know, maybe behind the scenes, yeah, he's still rolling 60, you know, he still do a dibble and dabble in this hood, do whatever he do. But like to the main public eye, the stuff that what he was pushing to the world, his positivity, I feel like that's what, you know, really hurt people. Yeah, but it's certain people, like if Tekashi 6ix9ine get killed, niggas ain't gonna give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Because of all the energy he put out there. But like Nip is like, come on, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Nah, he put nothing but positive energy out there. And but you gotta realize too, a lot of people didn't know about all the shit that he was doing. Maybe people in LA, but across the world they didn't know. So it's like
until afterwards.
All I'm basically saying is he was a good brother. He didn't deserve to die. And he was really doing some good shit for the community and doing hella shit. Almost like, I could say like Mr. Fab in Oakland.
Yeah.
From Oakland. Mr. Fab do a hella shit for motherfuckers. But by us being in the Bay, you know what I'm saying? By us being in the Bay,
they don't get out there like that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She could be different. Like when Jack died, you know what I'm saying? Jack was a big inspiration and did hella shit.
Yeah, rest in peace. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But they didn't take him out that way. But I'm gonna tell you another thing. My baby cousin, rest in peace, Baby Roller. They showed the shooting on TV, right?
Mm.
They filmed my van, and they thought I was there. At first, they said Kafani got killed. The news printed this out. It's like Kafani got killed. Then it was like, oh no, Kafani got shot. So, oh no, Kafani wasn't there. They on the news, bro. I'm literally on my computer and I'm typing. I typed in because somebody said something. I heard him on the news talking about Kafani drives a promo van. I'm like, man, these motherfuckers on. I type Instagram. I'm like, man, these motherfuckers on. These motherfuckers on the news talking stupid shit.
They're saying anything.
Like, I was like, I don't ride no promo van. I ride a Bentley. And then, man, the dude, Paul, I swear to you, bro, the dude, Paul Chambers, directly on the news, looking in there, Kafani, we know you watching this. Can you call this number? Because we want to get your side of the story. And somebody found out where I live, because I lived in 1200 Lakeshore. Like, when Steph Curry was a rookie, first couple years, and Klay Thompson, they stayed in that same building that I stayed in. And, like, I didn't even know who the fuck Steph Curry was. Like, for real. For, like, a couple years living with that motherfucker living with me. I didn't know who the fuck he was. But, you know, because he wasn't known yet to the world.
Yeah.
So I used to see him every day. But what I'm saying to you is that these motherfuckers, they mobbed my house. They found my address, man. And I had news reporters lined up. I had to go in there and do interviews. They was lined up. And I think they didn't make a big issue when I think after my cousin died, it was another Mexican kid that got shot. And they put it on the news, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. They made a, man, that shit was on it. Because my baby cousin held on for about 10 days from the gunshot wound until they took him off the court, you know?
Yeah.
And the media was just going crazy. So by it being so much media attention, they had to do the funeral at Axeful Gospel, which holds 2,000 people. That shit was filled up. The mayor at the funeral, a rich person paid for his plot and all that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that was because the other little kid that got killed, they didn't do it for. They didn't do all that. They did that for my little cousin based on the fact that he was a young kid, got killed in that way, in that manner, which is so sad, and I hate it ever happened.
Yeah.
Because his father, my little cousin, when the gunshots came, he sheltered his son, and the bullet went through his head. The bullet that ultimately killed his son was... He had his hand wrapped around his son's head, like holding him, shielding him, trying to get down. You feel me?
Yeah.
The bullet went through, you know what I'm saying? You know, man, my cousin Harolo, you know what I'm saying? We really don't be talking like that, but you know what I'm saying? I love my cousin to death, you feel me? But at the same time, we just had our little differences, and I love his son to death, bro. His son was at my studio every day, and pretty much what it was, he was holding on to us when the shooting first started or whatever. He grabbed his son, you know what I'm saying, and shielded his son like a real man would do. And it just so happened when he had his, you know, he got his hand over his baby's head. And one bullet fucked around and went through it, hit my cousin's hand. And that's the bullet that went through his hand and hit my baby cousin in the brain.
Sad, man. Sad,
you know what I'm saying, and that's just so sad. And that was over some stupid ass shit, bro. Why the niggas went over there and did what they did. And you know what the funniest thing about it, bro, that nobody know? The oldest dude that did the shooting that was from over there, his little daughter got into a car accident while baby Roller was still in Highland, and all my family's out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my big cousin, that was his nephew. Why did the dude see him up there, and we don't know this at that time, but he stayed up there and had a nerve to go and ask my cousin for a cigarette. You know what my cousin did?
What?
Knocked that nigga out cold.
Yeah.
And didn't know. And the ironic part, didn't know that he was one of the shooters. Because he was from the ops. He was from the opposite side. He was from Acorn. So they know Acorn niggas did it. You know what I'm saying? Because Acorn and the Bottom's been funky for decades.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so he seen a nigga from Acorn a known nigga from Acorn coming in there because his daughter got hit. But that's the ironic thing of it. He know in his head that he did that to that kid that's up there while all our family out there. He had a nerve to ask you know what I'm saying, my cousin uncle, you feel me,
for a fucking cigarette. It's crazy.
And he knocked that nigga out straight up.
Let me ask you this, because this was something I was going to ask you earlier, but I'm glad, you know, you just brought up, you said something about, you know, Funktown and Acorns, you know, having generational beef. Do you feel like...
No. Laura Bottoms.
And Acorns.
Laura Bottoms and Acorn having traditional beef. Funktown don't got no beef with nobody.
How do you...
Funktown was like... reason why it's called Funktown, why it's called really called Funktown, and it's ironic how, Filthy got the F-O-D, Funk or Die.
Mm-hmm.
Funktown used to always, that was a Funktown word, Funk or Die, when I was coming up. You know what I'm saying? Funktown used to be Funk or Die.
Yeah.
That was like they little, the little saying, Funk or Die or whatever. But what happened was, back in the day when Lil D and Mickey Mo and all them was going through their little beef, you know, their little beef, the 6ix9ine mob and the Dubs, Mickey Mo had like the Dubs on lock, the murder Dubs, right?
Yeah.
There's a dude named Harv that kind of was running stuff in Funktown or whatever. But Funktown really didn't have no claim. So, like, Funktown is one of the only spots in Oakland where you got niggas from hella different sets that be over there. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, back then, they was funking over it because nobody had claim to it. And it's hella big. Mm. And so a lot of the funk, that's why it's called Funktown. That's the origin of this shit. You feel me? And people don't know that's gonna hear this video if they from Funktown or know. One of the first rappers besides me that's from Funktown was a dude named Scarface. He dead, but he got like one video out that I got a copy of. You know what I'm saying? Cause like, you know, like I was telling you, like motherfuckers trying to say he ain't from Funktown, woo-woo. Like they don't even know the history of this shit. Like they don't know the rapper who Scarface is that's dead. You know what I'm saying? I got his video. To let niggas see it, to know the history. Everybody on that motherfucker with Funktown hats on the side, like back in the 80s and 90s, we used to wear our little hats. We used to wear the hats with your set on the side. All these niggas in there deep with the Funktown on it.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. Do you feel like just talking about the Bay Area, you know, hip hop music scene as a whole, do you feel like the politics hurt the music scene from growing to where it should be because there's so much talent in the Bay?
Yeah. Man, we got so much talent in the Bay, and the hyphy movement did what it did. You feel me? And right now, the Bay, they don't give us no shine, bro. Like, let's just be real. Let's just be all the way real. Like, this on some real shit, and this ain't no disrespect to nobody, no nothing. All the Bay Area is represented right now to the national level is mentioned by the whole Bay Area is based on 2 50-year-old men and a white boy. Think about that. All the talent out the Bay, far as rap. All of Mr. Fabs and all the motherfuckers who got real talent. The only two motherfuckers, three people, that can really get support from the Bay is a white dude and 2 50-year-old rappers. A white rapper and 2 50-year-old rappers. I ain't saying no names or nothing. Everybody know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Who I'm talking about. No disrespect, but it's real. You go to Atlanta, it's a new nigga every year coming out busting.
They built their hip hop economy up like a motherfucker. It's crazy, you know what I mean?
And then people don't understand. Hey, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy because like even with DJs and shit, DJs and everything, the party scene in the Bay is dead right now. But guess what? You don't got no artists coming out and performing. Like when I first got on the scene, bro, we doing 3 shows a night. In the Bay.
What slow? We're
going everywhere doing shows.
Not necessarily you, but when you say that the scene is dead, what slowed that down? Did the venues want to stop booking artists because it was violence or what?
Basically, because everything always with to do with violence, and they blame it on the artists. But guess what? They ain't doing no. They not doing. They not. The clubs is not letting artists come perform in the Bay. And guess what? They still getting shootings at the club. You always will have shootings at a club with alcohol
right.
involved.
Yeah,
it ain't the rapper.
It is. Yeah.
It ain't the rappers that we not the ones that's got these niggas coming out there shooting up motherfuckers.
So it's happening anyway.
It ain't no rap beef out here where niggas getting killed. You know what I'm saying? I'm the only nigga in the whole thing that got shot, but it wasn't about that. It was about me going to the hood and a nigga in his hood, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Basically saying, you shooting a video about my nigga, you know what I'm saying? So, raising the nigga off the block, pretty much, whatever. That was on dude.
Right.
That wasn't on the rapper.
Yeah.
That was on that one individual person. I'd be outside all day, every day, bro, when I go out. Everybody show me nothing but love, bro.
Not just the Bay, but because I don't, you know, someone could probably take this the wrong way, but you know, but not just the Bay. Say, for instance, if the Bay, different areas that's similar where they may feel like, man, our talent in our, you know, town, city, or whatever, not getting. Do you think more people need to stop trying to be artists and start trying to get in these other positions that's important in the rap game? You know what I'm saying? So maybe if you can get a real one that's an A&R, a real one, maybe then they can try to reach back and help certain areas. Because if you got a whole bunch of goofies or people that's not from the culture up in these buildings or whatever, even though it's direct to consumer because of, you know, how the internet's set up, but, you know, sometimes it takes for one artist to get signed and blow up, and then it shifts the internet to start looking at that area.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm going to tell you this. Actually, we got two A&Rs in the game that's from Oakland. The boy Dane, he an A&R at Motown, Yo Gotti, and he got an A&R job right now with Universal Motown, and then we got what's his name? AE. He used to be in this group called the A's. They used to be in the Bay fucking around or whatever. They had got a deal with TVT or some shit. And cause we was on a little compilation that came out. It was called Hyphy Hits. But they never put them out, but they was trying to use that as a foundation for him, like getting on a compilation. Putting them on a compilation, and you know what I'm saying, trying to push it, but then TVT shut down. So, you know what I'm saying, AE ended up, I guess, becoming friends with Tyga, and he started dating Amber Rose and shit. I think he had Def Jam. Yeah, Sierra VP.
Who you talking about, the dude that's with Amber Rose right now, the one that got her knocked up? Yeah, A&R.
Yeah. Oh, she pregnant right now?
I think so. I think I seen her on Mr. Fab podcast. I think they said that she, I think she mentioned that she was pregnant. I think I maybe seen a couple pictures of her or something like that online where she, the light skinned dude, if we talking about the same person, yeah. But I know Sacramento not technically called the Bay, but it's Northern California. You got Ebro out there on Hot 97, but he from Northern Cali. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be crazy. I understand it because, you know, it's different people that's from here.
Like even Shakir Stewart, when he got Shakir Stewart, who killed himself, he from Oakland. He never signed nobody in Oakland.
Is Nessa from out there?
Nessa from out here, yeah. She was on 94.9 first.
Before so she went out
there. Yeah, before she ended up getting a little gig
over there at Hot 97.
Oh, she at Hot 97 now?
Yeah, I'll be seeing her on YouTube. She be having her segments where she be interviewing people over there at Hot 97. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she was at Hot 97. I know she had went like to MTV or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, she date Kellen. She date Kaepernick right now though. That's his bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why the other nigga got what's the other nigga that got blackballed from this shit? That was his bitch too. That's why him and Kaepernick got into it. Cause like Kaepernick took his bitch. the other he played for the Raiders, man. What's that nigga name? He played for the Niners first, and then he got suspended, whatever, for whatever domestic violence or whatever. Then he went to the Niners. I can't remember this nigga name though. Fuck.
I can't think
of it. But he used to fuck with the bitch. He fucked with the bitch first, and then Kaepernick got it. And I think him and Kaepernick was getting into it, and like getting into it, like at the you know, in the locker room and shit over the bitch, over Nessa.
Yeah.
But then so she came up, but she from the Bay. Yeah, for sure. Who else from the Bay?
So I don't know. I don't know. That maybe I don't know if people got family connected to them or got ways to get connected to them, or you feel like they should be reaching back, or people should be trying to tap in with them. They'd be like, hey, you know, y'all, you know, moving up or getting it, not even moving up, just getting in certain positions. Like, you know, look out for one or two people from where you're from, because there's some people like that. There's some motherfuckers from here that didn't get into the radio game and move on, and but you don't see them come back and do shit. You know what I mean?
I think AE signed, if he worked for Def Jam, I can't remember which one he worked with, but if he worked for Def Jam, I think he signed one of the SOB dudes, Sneak. He got a deal.
Okay.
At Def Jam, Def Jam. Because I think he had a song with Tyga or something. I don't know. I ain't heard the music or nothing like that, but I think AE signed him.
Yeah. And Gazi. Empire's about the Bay, right?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, when Gazi first started, I was one of the first artists to fuck with Gazi because he worked at Ingrooves, and then Ingrooves gave him his own little situation. Because when you look at it, through the distribution, it's still going from Empire to through Ingrooves. Still, Empire is getting put out through Ingrooves when it was really said and done.
That's the parent company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost like Ingrooves is like they had another spot called Iota. You could get your label. You can go in and run as a label, and they take you directly to they're able to take you directly to the source of everything, like a TuneCore or something.
Right.
But the difference with Empire, they do distribution. Like, I had a distribution deal, but they also start depending on the artist and the project. Like, far as myself, I'm treated as an artist. So if I drop a project at certain times, it get a priority. Like, the main don't get placements.
Yeah.
Like, if artists go, like, straight to TuneCore and DistroKid, they just put your shit up. Like, it ain't no promotion about it. Nobody will hear about it. But, like, literally, like, with Empire, my album with Project Pat was on new releases. You know what I'm saying? It was getting on some playlists. The album with Maino, they added a random ass track off Maino on Hot Tracks. That motherfucker got so many goddamn streams.
So they work it. So they work it over there at Empire. They do a good job for the people over there.
Man, shout out my boy Moody. Shout out my boy Furious. You know what I'm saying? Shout out my boy Kush over there. They be getting it in, man. They definitely get it in. And they definitely work with a motherfucker.
Word. That's dope.
It's just based on, all it is based on relationships at the end of the day.
Yeah.
The whole game based on relationships. And me, that's what I did. I built when I first started in this music game, and when I got out of prison in 2004, all I did was network. And I just know I just know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, Tuma Bassa, who used to run MTV Jams. Then he went to Spotify. I was in jail for all that. Now he working over at YouTube. But, like, he a genuine person that I've really been around, and he knows me. You know what I'm saying? Like, to where I didn't have to go through radio promoters to submit my music. I could submit my music through the same thing they would do. And if Tuma felt it, he'll run it.
Right.
He was one of those dudes. That's why if you notice, like, I always stay on, like, BET Jams. I always got a song out on that motherfucker. Just like you see G-Eazy and 40 on that motherfucker, you go see me.
Yeah.
But it's based on my relationships.
Well, I hope different artists and people that's, you know, listening right now pay attention to that. You know what I mean? Networking, and building relationships with motherfuckers is very, very important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there any you know, future albums or any last things that you want to make sure that you put out there for the people to look forward to and where they can find you at on social media?
Hey, you know what I mean? Hit that IG, the IG. I mean, I got the Facebook and the Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Kafani. Everything Kafani, man. Search Kafani. You find me on Facebook. Find me on Instagram. I mean, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm mainly on it on the gram, though. But you know, when I post something, it goes to all the social media spots. But I'm working on. I'm currently right now. I got, like I said, I got Heavenly out. Voodoo Stick. Look, the way the numbers is moving, I'm going off the numbers. I think that's gonna be the lead single. I got 7 videos done for the record. For the album, I only put maybe one video out, I think, already. I think the Ride For Me is the only video that's out for the album. But I got like 7 videos done. And I'm finna just start working that avenue on those. And right now I'm working on an album with Mess. We don't know the title to it. But we gonna get that, we gonna figure that part out. Figure the part of that out. And then also I'm working on my album Rich Boy. That's gonna be the rec that's gonna be the album where it's pretty much gonna be just me rap, you know, that traditional Kafani shit, like that She Ready Now, Need Your Body type shit, Knock 'Em Down type shit, with the R&B singer, with the you know, the R&B with the rap, but turned up for the club. You feel me?
Right.
That's you know what I'm saying, that's where that's at, you know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, man, at the end of the day, man, motherfuckers might want to do my give me credit for all the shit, but everybody really know that the trend in the Bay before I started, besides Yuck Mouth having custom chains and a chain when he's fucking rap a lot, and E-40 with his little shit, you know, 40 is 40. I was the first dude in the Bay, man, really just stunting with European whips. You know what I'm saying? Hella jewelry. Before you could buy fake jewelry. You know what I'm saying? You know, these niggas be wearing a gang of fake jewelry. I still got all my old jewelry, still top shape, tip shop. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to, you know, put it out there. That's why I call myself the Ice King shit. Gucci called me the Ice King. But, you know, at this point in my life, it's to a point where, you know what I'm saying? I got my pieces, I got my trophies. But I don't gotta just stunt no more and all that. Like, I don't need to do all that because you already know what you got. It's like when you look at Lil Wayne and these different dudes that elevate. You don't gotta be riding in. You don't gotta just be showing off cars and jewelry every time you're on a gram and doing all that shit. Like, you could be a regular person once you build your name and set your thing right. You know what I'm saying? Your name, you know, your shit together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this new term, this I mean, saying I set trends. You feel me?
Word.
I really don't follow nothing. That's why. Like, I ain't really been on the whole little Bay Area on that Detroit hype they've been on. I don't feel it because the Bay, we original. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm just staying in my lane. You feel me?
What you mean? You talking about, like, I think you said that in the last interview, like you said it's a lot of artists from out there, like making music sounding like Detroit. Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's a
it's
really
a mix. I think
at
it's
the
a
end of the day,
mixture.
it's
It's
a
a
triangle.
mixture. It's a mixture. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm gonna take this.
I think both ways, just because of the, you know, on the other side of the game, I think that pipeline is the reason why similarities there.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you like this though, it's a triangle, bro. This peep it. The triangle is a triangle. The Bay to the A to the D. It's that triangle, bro.
Yeah.
If you peep the music in, that's it, especially with the underground.
Yeah.
It's the Bay to the D to the A, bro.
Yeah.
Straight up on the independent side. All love, Atlanta, Detroit, the Bay. That's what it is. But at the end of the day, everybody got to stick to a lane. You feel me? You can't just, because something hot, you can't just jump to what's hot. And you know what I mean? Like, you keep yourself relevant by like doing songs with these young motherfuckers. You know, you got up and coming young people in a generation. I learned that from E-40.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? E-40 stayed working with artists, up and coming art. You know, when they get on, he stayed working with young, doing shit with young artists to stay relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, keep yourself relevant, because at the end of the day, kids is the most consumers of rap, of music, is kids. So you got to get whatever the kids doing.
Exactly.
But you can't be phony and fake and conform all the way to one sound and then flip. Because if you know my history, I came out the hyphy movement and then slid into that environment of the rapping R&B shit.
Yeah.
I went from hyphy to that. Like, you got people that don't know I'm the same person that's seen Fast Like a NASCAR and She Ready. They think that's two, sometimes they may think it's two different people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they connect the song, they don't connect the artist. But now that we got social media so tough, now they really can see and connect the dots.
Right.
I get people all the time. I put an old song up and still I'll get DMs off my story or something like, man, I didn't know you made that song. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
You just gotta keep up with what's going on. And I got a good production team. Shout out my boy DC and Mott. I got a good production team, man. Got good ear. And we doing that music. And really right now, what I'm really on is, I know for sure in the real industry, and when you hear everything is sampled. And the reason why samples work is because it's familiar to the ear, whether you know the song or not.
Right.
That song got played when you was a kid or whatever. That shit's familiar to the ear. That's why samples always work. And right now, that's all I'm doing is sampling. I'm on my sample hype.
Yeah. Like,
we sampling and we dropping the drums up under it, putting that 808 with it.
Did you, I don't know if you, you know, watch a lot of interviews or not, but you've seen the recent Eric Sherman interview. He was talking, the reason why I say that, because he mentioned something about it. I think it's a website or something that they just created where it's cheap as hell, where like a lot of artists that were using samples, they be getting a lot of their publishing or whatever taken because of this, how much they use it. He was like, man, they got this one place now, like a super, I forgot how much he said. He was like, it's a super cheap rate that you just pay, you know, and to get automatically get it cleared. You ain't got to try to reach out to the artist. It's like they got something set up now where you just go to this one place and you automatically get it clear, and it don't cost an arm and a leg. But you have to watch that interview. I can't remember exactly what he said, though.
Okay, what's his name?
Eric Sherman, the dude. Dude named Eric Sherman. He was just on the Breakfast Club. You know, I end up sending you the link to it, and I'll, you know, see if I can find the time, the time spot on it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of a long interview, but yeah.
But I'm gonna look it up, Eric Sherman. I'm gonna look that up, because, like, even with because the Voodoo Stick is a sample, my lead single. We sample "Lay My Head on Your Pillow," but I played the record for Dwayne Wiggins, who you know, Dwayne Wiggins and Tony. He like the last member left, because they added my boy Frank and Dyson to the to play the part, you know, to play the other parts of the two dudes, Raphael and whoever the other dude was. I don't even know who the third dude was, but Dwayne Wiggins, he heard. I played him the record because, you know what I'm saying, he the OG, you feel me? So I sampled his record, you know what I'm saying? So, and I let him listen to it. So I want to get an honest opinion. And he told me, man, that's a hit. So he's like, man, you know, you don't even got to go through everything, man. We can, you know, take care of it through me and you. So, you know what I'm saying? I gotta go holler at him. And, you know what I'm saying? We go work that paperwork together and make sure we don't have no issues. That's a good thing about that record that we sampled, is that I directly know. You know what I'm saying? I directly know. You know what I'm
right.
saying? But I'm gonna look up that other site and see what it count, because that's all I'm working on right now is that sampling and shit.
For sure. What shit? Man, well, I definitely appreciate you stopping through, and I'll go ahead and get that link and send it to you so you can watch that interview, because he do talk about a lot of different shit in there that they that him and his team and everybody got right now that they trying to add to the game. So it may be a lot of informational shit in there, since, you know, definitely being from an artist CEO running your shit point of view. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
All right, man. Well, I definitely appreciate it, man.
For sure.
All right. Peace.